Well, I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. I feel like the Lord's been talking to my heart about some things that I believe will really solidify our experience with the Lord and will solve so many problems in our lives, and that is to know the Lord. And I want to just look at a number of scriptures that I trust that God, if He would be merciful today, would enlarge these things to our hearts. I really believe this is the secret that we need. This is what solves our riddles of life. I want to start in James 2 and 23, and it just mentions, it says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You know, that was a special place. He was called the friend of God. God said that. That wasn't what somebody else said. That's what God said, that he was his friend. I believe it says in the Old Testament, he speaks of Abraham, my friend. I was thinking about the scripture in Proverbs 27 that says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." What kind of a friend is God? Is God the kind of friend that we can call by first name? Can we admonish God? Is He the kind of friend that we can, that needs our wounds? What kind of friend is God this morning? We call Him Abraham's friend. We talk about having a relationship with the Lord. We talk about having God as our best friend. But you know, there's different kinds of friends this morning. I want us to think a little bit about a few things that might help us in our walk with the Lord. You know, we are His friend, but we don't walk with God as His equal. We will never be God's equal. We're in a whole different realm than the Lord is. We are very privileged to be the friend of God. I was thinking about kings this morning. You know, it's a privilege for someone to be the friend of a king. But they're not the king. And they will and they probably never will be the king. And their relationship is very different than from a king to a king. Now, the Lord told us in His Word that we're kings and priests. That's over our own life. That's something God wants us to explore, the kingdom that He's given us, that we could rule our own spirit, that we could do His will, and that we could have mastery over this flesh. The Lord wants us to rule that kingdom, but we're not a king on the level of God. And so when we come to the Lord, it says in Mark 4 and 30, we get just a little bit of an insight into God's kingdom. It says here, "And He said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it?" Now, this was Jesus speaking, and He referred to it as a kingdom. A kingdom has a king. You know, we're not used to a kingdom in this country. We're used to a democratic way of doing things. You know, well, what's everybody think? You know, what do we think? You know, in God's kingdom, it's not that way. We're a friend of God, but our thoughts are not equal to His thoughts. He's a king, and we are a friend. We are privileged to be in that place. What we think matters to God, but we're not equal with God. And so I want to think about that a little bit. I think sometimes we get to thinking in our own little minds. We get to thinking about what we think about things. Well, you know, when it really comes down to it, It's what God thinks about things. It really is what God thinks about things, and what we think about things needs to be subject to that. We're not in a democracy or a republic here. We're in a kingdom, and the Lord is king. And so, so that kind of explains the scripture that we read over in John the 15th chapter, where he says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." You know, that was always a puzzle to me. Now, what's this mean here? You're my friends if you do what I tell you to do. We don't know that on a personal relationship, do we? We don't feel that toward one another. Well, if you do what I say, you're my friend. Well, the scripture that Jesus gave us here, his writing was, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." And so I'm just laying a little foundation here this morning, because we want to know this King. We want to know the Lord, and we want a proper relationship with God. We don't just have our little thing worked out. We don't just, well, you know, this is what I think and this is what God's going to, you know, me and God have it worked. You know, the Lord gave us his word and he said, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." There's a different kind of relationship there, a very close friend relationship. But do you know that friends of kings don't go around spreading bad rumors about the king? They're not traitors to the king. They don't fuss with the king. They have a little different relationship than that. And so this morning, we want to look at the Lord and realize our relationship with the Lord is one where the first thing is we are subject to him. The friend of the king is a subject of the king. He obeys his commandments. And if he doesn't, he's going to get in trouble with the king. Would you say that? I believe you would. Do you know this morning that God is the same way? He loves you and me with a passionate love. But I will tell you, we're not equal with him. We can't come and be his friend and do whatever we want to do. We're in his kingdom. He has ordinances. He has laws even. He has commands. And do you know that if we are going to be a king, a friend to the king, we're going to have to fall under that. And so how does it work then? So because we know that there are commands, because we know there are things the Lord has said, thus saith the Lord, does that mean then that our relationship with him is just one of commands? No. It means that we are one of his subjects. It puts us in place to be a friend to him. We cannot come to God and be a friend to him and in our life not be subject to him. We cannot be of another kingdom of darkness where we do dark deeds and then we say we're a friend of God. We cannot live our own life and say, you know, me and God have this thing worked out. That's a very coarse way to put it to start with, because we're speaking of the God of heaven. We're not speaking even of a king of the earth. We're speaking of the king of earth and heaven, the one that made all of this stuff. And when we come to him, we want to first be subject to him, because then that's not our relationship. That's the prerequisite for our relationship. That's what we do first. We become a subject of his. We begin to submit ourselves to him. We repent of our rebellious ways. We repent of taking our ways and taking our thoughts. And we subject ourselves to the King of Kings. And do you know when we do that? Then we're not a traitor to him. Because he's made it plain in his word that you're either for me or you're against me. We're not for him and against him. And so this morning, as we begin to want to know the Lord, I will tell you the first thing we ought to do is cast aside all of our ways and become subject to the Lord. Lord, I want to know your ways. I want to know your thoughts. I want your commands in my life. I want it to rule me. Lord, I want to know what your will is for me from day to day. And do you know that as we subject ourselves to him, then, if I can say it this way, we become one of those that he loves to befriend. And now then, there's a relationship that can be made. And so that is where commands work into this. Now, Paul the Apostle, we might read this after a while, but Paul the Apostle said that all those things, the law that he had been under, he said that was something, he counted it but manure. That's what he said, but dung. He realized that his whole relationship with God was just commands. That's all it was. When actually he said he needed to count that as nothing so that he could know God. So that he could begin to know him and walk with him. If our relationship with God is, I got saved. Now, I've got to quit doing this and this and this, and I've got to start doing this. I've got to go to church. I've got to do this. I've got to quit doing that. Do you know that if that is our relationship and that's all, then we don't know the Lord. And so I don't want to be critical in any way, but you know what? What we want to do this morning is, folks, God wants us to know him. He wants us to be on a personal level with the Lord where he begins to speak to us. Now, he's told people all through the centuries, your sins have separated you from me. And so those things, when we do that, we're part of the kingdom of darkness. We're a traitor to God because we can't be for him and against him. And so I just want to set that backdrop as we begin to look into the Word a little bit. I want to remind us of what God has in mind for you and me. Do you know that the Lord wants to walk with you and me? Do you know that he wants to talk to you and you talk to him? Do you know that he wants to hear our questions? Do you know that he wants to hear the things we don't understand? He wants to hear all of those things. He wants our heart's desire to be filled by his presence. So when we talk about the things that we get rid of and all of those things, those are just so that we can come into the presence of the King. That's not the presence of the King. Am I making sense here this morning? Okay, let's begin in Hebrews 8 and 10 and 11. It says here, for this is the covenant. This is the agreement. This is what I want to make a covenant with you. With the house of Israel after those days. Those days are expired. We're in the days of Christ now. This is the days of this kingdom. And he says, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And, now that's the first thing, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we don't teach anything. It means we don't teach one another to know the Lord. We know the Lord ourselves. We get to know him. No one can give that to us. We can't read it in a book. And so they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. I don't know where you count yourself, whether you think you're the greatest in here or the least. But do you know that the Lord wants you and I to know him this morning? Do you know that he wants there to be, we've heard in this meeting about a relationship. Now, in the context of what we've studied already, the Lord wants there to be the most close and blessed relationship with Him. He wants to walk with us. I want to look at John, the 15th chapter, and the 3rd verse. Listen to what the Lord Himself begins to tell us here. He says, Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. First prerequisite, okay? Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Do you know this morning, this relationship of the branch to the vine, branch to vine relationship. Have you ever grown anything? Most of us have. Do you recognize, and we do, don't we? They've got to be hooked together. It's got to be something that flows. There has to be life there. There has to be something more than just to say, this is a tomato plant, or that's a tomato. If it's disconnected, he said here that men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. They just wither, don't they? And that's the way we are this morning. And I want to just talk to us a little bit. Folks, this is the secret to a lot of things in our life this morning. This is the secret. We can try to do everything right and leave off everything that's wrong. And believe me, we ought to leave off the wrong things and flee from them and do the right thing. But I will tell you what will keep you and me, and that's a real branch to vine relationship. When the Lord, you know, when that's hooked up together, it's awesome to watch what happens. It's awesome to watch you water that plant. And it begins there. You can't see it. Who can see it? We can't see it. But it happens. And life comes up through that. And there's a connection there. And there's a relationship there that begins to feed fruit. And fruit begins to develop. And that's the way it happens. It doesn't happen by us just deciding we're going to work so hard at it that it's going to change. I want to tell you this morning and just share with you, I know we struggle with things. Folks, this is the answer to a lot of things this morning. We struggle with who we are, with how we were when we were born, with our nature. I'm speaking of the very human personality, person that we are. We struggle with the way we were taught, the way we understand things, the way we do. But I will tell you, those things, if the struggle becomes our life, and that's the fruit of our life, we're not going to live too long in that condition. We're going to be so worn out, we're going to want to give up the fight. But I want to tell you, and we're going to struggle constantly against giving up the fight. But if we can hook up to the Lord, and how do we do this? How do we find this kind of relationship? I will tell you this morning just some very, very common little things. Do you know that it takes more than just there being a little bit of the vine hooked up to the branch? It takes a real walking, a real pulling from the juice that's coming up, okay? When we begin, sometimes people get saved and they'll say, even after a while, after a good while sometimes, I just am not getting anything out of the Bible when I read it. I don't understand it. I don't. And that I want to tell you something that's even greater than that. It don't leave that behind, but I will tell you, take some time. Take some time. Now, this doesn't mean that in the morning we get up, okay, we've got 20 people to pray for, and we've got to pray for our job, and we got to get going. Do you know that we're not going to have much of a life like that? But there needs to be times. I know sometimes that's the way it is. Sometimes you have to go, and somebody called all of a sudden, and you wake up, and you got to go right then. It happens. But do you know that through our life, there should be times every week where we stop and we insulate ourselves to the Lord. Lord, I want you to speak to me. I'm here. This hour is yours. This couple of hours, Sunday afternoon is a wonderful time for that. This couple of hours is yours. Lord, I just want you to speak to me. Take a walk outside. Walk and look up at the stars at night. I like to do this regularly or pretty occasionally. Walk and look up at the stars. Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me. I need your thoughts. Lord, I want your ways. I want to know you. I need messages from you. Lord, I need answers to the riddles of life. They're too much for me. They're too much. There's too many things to know, and I don't know it all. And I need you to give me some answers. Do you know, folks, this morning, this is where strength comes from. This is where power comes from in our life. This is where direction comes from. This is where anointing comes from. This is where the blessing in your spiritual life, I believe, comes from. And so we want to read the Word. We don't minimize that, folks. But if that is alone what we do, and we don't form a relationship with the Lord and begin to draw from Him, Lord, I want you to feed me out of your Word. I know you've been kind of dealing with me about something, but I don't know how to accomplish that, and I just frankly don't have the power to do it, and you're going to have to help me. Do you know that that's a branch-to-vine relationship and vine-to-branch? Do you know you start calling out to God, Lord, have mercy on me? I urge all of us, if you want to live for God and be successful till the last day, then form this kind of relationship. If you never have time for the Lord to have this kind of a drawing and back and forth relationship, I will tell you, you will be shallow in your relationship with the Lord. You will lack understanding. You will lack discernment about the things that of life, about how to deal with situations in our life. We're all people. We make mistakes, don't we? But don't we want to minimize those? Didn't the Lord say, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask? I'll give it to all men liberally. Wow, what a promise. You mean God will give wisdom to me liberally? A whole bunch of it? That's what He said He would do. But I'll tell you, it doesn't come just by studying. And it doesn't come just by coming to church. And it doesn't come just by making our own little thing. I have my own thing with God worked out. I don't need to go to church. Folks, His Word says, be there. That's what it says. If you boil it down, be there. We ought to be there. And then, you know, we begin to, then when we come to God, there's nothing between us. Now, maybe there is something between us. And we might need to take care of that. Lord, I need you to help me. I didn't speak quite like I should have yesterday to my children. I want you to help me to be more patient. Lord, have mercy upon me. Instead of blaming our children or our wife or the job problems, do you know this morning, without this, we cannot have those good things of God that He has for us. So I just want to encourage all of us this morning. I could probably quit right there, And maybe you have the gist of what we want to preach about this morning or give that the Lord gave to us. But folks, form a real relationship. Don't stop. I did my duty. I went to church. No, that's, come on, that's just one of the little commandments. I've been working on myself real hard. That's all right. But I'll tell you, if you want life, if you want direction, if you want a calling, do you want a calling? Yeah. I did. I wanted a calling. I long for the Lord. Even as a young person, folks, I wanted God to have His way in my life. And I would never do it otherwise. Folks, give yourself to the Lord. Let your heart go out to God. You might be walking out under the stars. You might be taking a stroll in the middle of the day. You might be on your knees for an hour. You might be on your face on the carpet for a while. We might be reading, Lord, explain this to me. Help me to understand your ways. Do you know that as we search for God, that is the way that relationship works. And so that searching, that loving, that longing, that desire, that's our part of pulling this thing. And you know what God's part is? He said, I'll put my laws into your mind. I'll tell you what, I'll come down and you'll be my people. I'll be to them a God and you'll be my people. And do you know that things that you never understood will begin over time to come clear to us? He's not going to tell us everything at once. But do you know that as we begin to walk with the Lord, we'll overcome things. We'll begin to understand things. Why did the saints always, that doesn't make any sense and I don't believe it. Do you know you're just maybe using your own mind? Maybe we ought to get alone with God. Ask Him about it. You know, He might have some thoughts that we never had. We might just be using our own mind this morning. I just want to encourage us that this kind of relationship with the Lord, it solves the riddles of life. The accusations. You ever had accusations? I have. I want to tell you something. I still have to battle those things sometimes. Do you know that the devil will do anything he can to stop you? He will accuse you. If you won't stop and you're not about to stop, he'll start throwing mud balls at you. Did you know that? Those are accusations. Yeah, you know what you said yesterday. You know, yeah, and I mean, he'll start bombarding, won't he? How do we get over those things? You know, we can say, well, I just need to take a stand. I will tell you what will help. Get a real walk with God. Get alone with the Lord. Every week, spend different times. Spend time alone with the Lord at different times. Lord, I want more. You know, maybe for a few days we might be in this crunch. But folks, stop. Keep stopping all along the way. Lord, I need you to speak to me. I want you to walk with me. You know, there was a man named Enoch. Way back. There's always been people here and there pop up through the centuries that walked with God. Isn't that something? There was Abraham way back. And it says God referred to him as Abraham, my friend. Wow, what a thing. You know, and then here's Enoch in Genesis 5 and 22. And we find him, it says, and Enoch walked with God. And it says, after he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I can imagine that. I can see a relationship like that. I can see where they just were so close that the Lord just said, I'm just going to bring you home. I could see that. Can't you? You know, this morning, I believe there's something more for us. Young folks, up and down, I'm not accusing you. I want to throw you a lifeline this morning. You want life. You want to understand. You want power in your life. Give yourself to God. Give yourself to Him. Lord, fill my life. Fill me. Lord, use my life. Lord, speak to me. Lord, anything. It's a yes all the way. And do you know when you start doing that, God. I never knew God was real like that. I grew up all my years wanting to serve the Lord. I know I made some bad errors in there. But I grew up. But I never knew the reality of God until I started seeking God. And I started spending some hours, some evenings at home alone in my bedroom because I wanted God so bad. Lord, I want you to dwell in my life. I want you to live here. Lord, I want to know you. And I didn't know anything about it, but I became aware through meeting with the saints that there was something way deeper than what I knew. And do you know that when the Lord, He met me one day in that bedroom right over here on Cherrywood. And I will tell you, I have never even began to forget the experience when the Lord began to be so real in my life. Changed my life. That was 1979, and it's still there and still going. I will tell you this morning, if you want to make a success in your life, then it's not by, well, I'm going to pray 35 minutes. Now, I say it's a good thing to set some time sometime. I just believe that. It just, you know, what it does is it blocks out the enemy saying, get up and go. So, well, you know, you don't have to stop whenever, but you can at least say, the next 30 minutes is the Lord's. I want to seek Him. I want to read His Word. And then you don't struggle with running off with all the things that call. And there's lots of them, isn't there? This morning, let's walk with God. I want to tell you something, young folks. The callings of the Lord will begin to fall on you as you begin to seek Him in this branch to vine and vine to branch relationship. As your heart begins to long after God and you begin to spend some time with the Lord, I will tell you, things begin to sharpen. The focus begins to come and the Lord begins to work. I really believe this is where we miss it lots of times. I know that lots of times people hold on to something and they hold on to their sins or their flesh or whatever it is. Maybe it's not always a sin and it distances them from the Lord. Yes. But beyond that, this here is extremely vital to our life this morning. The scripture says in Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, the Lord wants to walk with us, but we're going to have to agree with Him because it's not a democracy. He's the King. We're going to have to agree with Him, with His words, with His thoughts, with His ways this morning. It's His will and His Word and His Spirit working together with our spirit this morning. In John 15, let's go back there and read on now a little bit. John 15 and 7. If ye abide in me. Now we read over a lot of things a while ago that you could spend whole lessons on each one. But he says, if ye abide in me. That word means to like take up your abode. It means to live there. Folks, this is not something where, you know, at camp meeting, I'm going to wait till I get under so much conviction, then I'm going to run to the altar and I'll lose it in a week or two and I'll go back to what... This is an abiding. This is a living there. This is a new life. This is the way we do it from now till we die. And that is where the fruit begins to happen. We want fruit in our life. Where's the fruit? Folks, begin to hook up to the vine and let the life flow and you will have fruit. That's just the way it works. When you grow things in a garden, you realize if I can get the soil right, and the water right, and the sunshine on it, and put the seed in there, it's going to grow. If the seed's good, it's going to grow. So the Lord wants that to happen. Listen to what he goes on to say. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's now we're up close to the king. Now we can ask the king personally, because we know him. Wow, what a different relationship this is than just knowing about him. And he goes on to say, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Don't you know, he sees us as a plant. He sees who we are. And when I plant a plant, we've got one over there that it has just borne hundreds of tomatoes. And you know, you find different things, peppers just hanging all over. You know, you like that as a gardener. You love that. You like to give that plant what it needs. Do you know this morning, Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified. He likes this. And it brings glory to his name. It makes other people want that too. It glorifies him, just like the sun does, and the moon, and the stars, and the trees, all the other things he's made. It glorifies him. We look at that in awe and say, what an awesome God he is. Do you know that when we bear much fruit, it says that glorifies the Father? We bear that fruit by our relationship with the Lord. It's not by somebody telling us what to do and getting a book out and saying, well, this is what the Church of God believes. Now, I'm not against reading the books because I believe in that. I like that. But I will tell you something. You're going to have to go deeper than that. And we're going to have a relationship with the Lord. We begin to form that by our desire with him and by our separating ourselves unto him. And he begins to speak with us and life begins to change. And folks, I long to see, because I know the potential of what's out here. There's some of you that have a lot more capabilities than some of us. And do you know, in different ways, do you know that the Lord wants to tap into that? But he can't tap into that if the only way we know about him is that we come to church, maybe read the Bible once in a while, maybe say a little prayer for so-and-so, but our heart doesn't long for him. He can't give that. So I long for him to lay those callings upon us. This is where it's at, by desire and by intermeddling with the Lord, letting our life, our spirit, he wants that relationship that a vine has and a branch has, close, connected, sharing, feeding, something happening that no one else can see. They can only see the fruit that comes from it. And that's what the Lord is wanting in our lives today. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Do you know that the Lord, he says, and that your joy might be full? Do you know that we live below our privileges? We get saved and we eat just enough to be one of those fruit, to be one of those vines that looks like it needs help sometimes. And we say, what's wrong with this vine? What does it need? Does it need something else in the soil? Is there a bug in it? What is there? Is something got on it? Is there a disease on it? Do you know this morning, the Lord wants us to that our joy might be full. That's what he said. And the Lord helped me too. I want my joy to be full. I want it to be more full than it is. I enjoy so many good things of God, but I know that there's a capacity for much, much more. And I want that. I want that. And you pray for me. All right. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. All of this chapter, there's no way without the vine relationship for this to happen. People will say, I can't. You don't understand what they've done to me. I've had that said. You just don't understand. I don't. You're right. But I understand one thing. The Lord, through his grace coming into our life, will enable us to love them a lot. He'll enable us to love them with all of our heart. He'll enable us to do good to our enemies. That's what God does this morning. And so we know that we have no power of our own self. But I will tell you this morning, that vine wants to feed these branches, you and me. Young folks, I hope you build a life like this. I hope you go away and say, I will build my life like that. I want to tell you, if you will do that, the winds will come, the troubles will come, the confusions that come to churches sometimes will come. All of those things will happen, but you will maintain a relationship with the Lord that clears your mind out and that gives you a proper perspective, that gives you His will and His thoughts about things. It'll be a protection to us. It's the way that saints, it's what really divides between those that know the Lord and over a period of time, those that don't. I want to make it in. I want to have more than just what Paul said he had. I know it's about out of time here, but he goes on to say, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Doesn't that make proper sense now when we think of it in that way? Doesn't it make sense that this is a different kind of friendship? A very closer than any that you can have with people. But it requires our submission unto the King. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. You're my friend. I've made known. I speak in your ear these things. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. The Lord died for every one of us. He chose us all if we would hear. As many as believed, it says. I don't remember exactly the terminology there. I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Look at what power this gives us. Because we know the King. We're settled right up there. We're friends with the King. Special privileges. There isn't anybody going to overrule him. He's the top one. And so we're friends with the King. I mentioned a while ago, and I was going to read these scriptures, but Paul said in Philippians 3 and 4 to 10, I'm not going to read all that, but he said here, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And he goes on and says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. We can't suffer on our own, folks. It's too hard. But do you know that when the Lord moves in, it's a whole different story. It's not always fun, but all the fruit that comes from it. I wouldn't take anything for some of the hardest trials I've ever had. They've been that much blessing. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I want to read just a few other scriptures right quick. In Psalms 1 and 1 to 3. Just to seal this little bit with this thought. The Lord himself thinks of our relationship as a plant to the roots. He says here, or to the as a vine and branches. Psalms 1 and 3. Maybe we'll start with 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now that's the departing away from sin and wrong. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's on his mind. God is the center of his thoughts. And he shall be, it doesn't say maybe, it says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you know this is the word of the Lord? Is this not true this morning? Folks, if we will follow the Lord like that, I believe He has some really good things for us. In Psalms 92, it talks about the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Wow. Old and cranky? He says they're going to bring forth fruit. Good stuff. In old age, they shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. One more scripture, set of scriptures. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. Won't see when heat cometh. I've noticed at my house there's little lines out in my yard. And when it gets really hot, I find out what's getting watered and what's not. Because there's thick grass right over the septic lines. Now, I know that septic line, God can even use refuse, can't He? And He does. But do you know that I find that it's green and lush right there where it's getting watered. The Lord wants our life to be like that, folks. He doesn't plan for you to get saved and then be like, oh no. Now I can't do anything. I can't enjoy life anymore. That's when life begins, folks. God help us today. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I want to encourage us this morning. Get up close to the Lord. It's not rocket science, folks, but it does take a real desire from our hearts, and we can all have that. Amen.